Sometimes when I come and stand before you, I always feel, do I really need some introduction? It's been a long, long time friendship with First Baptist Malden. Thank you for taking time to come to the first Sunday in Advent, the day when our church calendar begins again. I love this time and the season because it is in anticipation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It gives me thrills whenever we enter this season, because we know what's waiting for us 4 weeks from now. It's the celebration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, born into our humble life. Let us bow down, say a word of prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. When we read this passage in Matthew chapter 25, beginning to read from verses 31 to 46, it's quite a very familiar passage. And it talks about the coming of Christ, not as a feeble child anymore, but coming as the King. In all the passages that precede this, there is a conditional statement, if. But when you come to this passage, there is no condition anymore. There is certainty when the Son of Man comes. There is a certainty of what is happening. But the entire passage has to be interpreted from one small phrase that is used in this text. In the Greek, it reads like this. It says, panta ta ethno, or panta ta ethne, means all the nations. Now, when we read this passage, we know that it is about 2,000 years ago, and we also know that when this text has been recorded, or has been compiled, or put together, or the disciples sat down and wrote it down, it was not during Jesus was on the earth. Jesus has finished his ministry, died on the cross, and then after 3 days, he rose again. And once he rose again, the disciples were then convinced, yes, he is the Christ. And now, after he has ascended into heaven, they begin to write the story. They want to revisit the story, going back. And then they were writing this. So, panta ta ethne, to all the nations. In those days, ethne did not mean nations. It meant to all tribes, to all the people in Israel. The disciples were sharing this story that Jesus told when Jesus was on the earth. You know, by the time they were writing this text or compiling this text, certain years have passed away after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the disciples were faithful to the Master. And they were spreading the gospel every nook and corner. But you know what happened? They were faced with discrimination. They were faced with bad treatment. They were not welcomed. They were not shown any hospitality. There were times when they were beaten, then when they were thrown into prisons, especially when we read the stories by Paul and Silas and Peter and Barnabas. We know that the disciples' life was so difficult, right? They were thrown into prisons. They were whipped, they were flogged, and they were having all kinds of difficulties. And this is at that time they were sitting down, revisiting what the Savior told them, what their Master has told them. The Master has said these words to all the nations. He's bringing the people to them. That is one version of how people interpret this text. But the other interpretation is, panta te ethne means to all the nations. All the nations mean nations everywhere, because by that time, Israelites were all over the place. They were diaspora. They were in many other countries whether it was because of war or because it was due to escape some kind of persecution or whatever, the reasons were the Jewish people and the Israelites were scattered all over the world. And to them, these people were writing, when Jesus is coming, when he comes as the king, he is going to judge the people. And then, if you want to make this text relevant to the entire world, then you go with the interpretation to all the nations, with no regard to the times of the disciples, to the times of the early church, but you then bring it into the world, and then we all are covered. We all become part of the nations. And that is a universal message that this text presents with us. There is a regional message that this text presents to the very immediate context. And then it also presents to the only Jewish people wherever they are, or the Israelites wherever they are. And then the global meaning, the universal meaning of what this means. Jesus is not coming just to Jerusalem. Jesus is not coming just to Bethlehem. Jesus is now coming into the world. And we as the world are expectantly waiting for the arrival of the King of Kings. It must be a happy time, right? But if you go by what the text presents us, it's not a happy time. It is time for us to look into our own deep selves about us, because the King is not coming to entertain us. The King is not coming anymore to do some fantastic things before our eyes so that we marvel and we say, oh God, he's so fantastic, right? The text says that the Son of Man is coming and all the nations are going to stand before the Son of Man and they are going to be judged. It's a time of judgment. So for us, it is a time when we sit down and now think about ourselves. How are we related? How are we doing the will and the purpose of the King? When the King comes, will the King be happy or will the King be furious? And the second part of the narration or the text goes into the King comes and all the nations are before the King, and then the King separates the people. This is a very difficult part for me in this text. Separation. Why do we need to separate sheep and the goats? Right? We have the story, sheep and the goats. And then the goats and the sheep are different. They have different characters. They have different personalities. So they're two groups. What happens with this text is the text brings us into a separation into us and them. We and they. They are different from us. We are different. I do not know whether the separation is because of different nationalities or different ethnicities or different cultures, or is it different because one has accepted Christ and one has not accepted Christ? Is it interreligious or is it ecumenical, because this is one denomination, that's another denomination? Because in Christianity we have this problem that we always see ourselves in contrast to something else. I'm a Baptist because I believe so, right? And you are a Catholic because you believe and you worship in a certain way. There is a separation of things. Let me tell you a story. There's a king in a very huge country Every day in his kingdom, in his palace, while he was in his court, he would take some time and walk away all by himself. Go into a room within the palace and lock himself inside. And then some of the people who were curious like me would go, and then they would listen to some strange sounds and things like that happening in that. And then the king comes back and then he goes on his daily routine. Everyone was like bewildered about what's going on, what's happening. But there was a young intern in the court of the king of those days. He wanted to go a little further and know what was happening. So before the king went into the palace, he somehow found a way to get into the room there, and he hid himself behind some kind of a curtain or something. And the time came that the king left everybody in the palace, and then he goes into this room. And when the king goes into his room, this man is watching behind the curtain to what the king is doing. The king goes, he pulls out an old box from somewhere. He takes off his royal clothes, and then he pulls out some clothes from the box. And in that box are his clothes, his original clothes before he became a king. He was a poor man. He had nowhere to go. He was homeless. His life was a very deprived kind of life, and he had tattered clothes. He wore them, and he started crying in the presence of God and saying, God, let me not forget who I am. I always want to be mindful and grateful from where I began. He was the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd king? David. David used to go all the time, be reminded of himself, of who he was. When I read this story and then the separation of the sheep and the goats, this is what I think. The sheep and the goats is not them. It is we. At certain times we are like sheep. At certain times we are like goats. When we are in the church, when we are in the shepherd's presence, I mean the shepherd is not your pastor, Reverend Martha, but the shepherd of shepherds of Christ, in that presence we want to be like sheep, right? When we go out of here, maybe, I do not know, if we change or we don't. But at the same time it reminds me that it's not us versus them. It is the two natures that are within us. Martin Luther, the Reformationist. Just recently we celebrated the 500 years of Reformation. He wrote at length, he wrote about the two natures within every person. The sheep and the goats. And the third part of the text that I wanted to also concentrate was about the message. The message of how did you treat your neighbor. Jesus is very consistent in his theology. There was no wavering. A young lawyer comes up to Jesus and says, hey Jesus, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus says, there is a very important commandment, and the commandment is, love your God with all your strength, with all your might, with all your heart. Then he says, yes, I do that. Then Jesus says, there's another very important commandment just as the first one. And that is, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here the two group of people standing were judged not by what they believed. Not by what they believed, but by what they did to the least of these people. Least of these people. This takes me to two kinds of missionary activities that were passed on in the world. Right? In 1812, while the war of revolution started in this country, at the same time, 1812, in America started the missionary enterprise. The American Board of Foreign Missions was formed in 1812. And from then onwards, there were missionaries. There were some hundreds and thousands of missionaries that went over into the world preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. There was one Dr. Ambedkar in India who was a freedom fighter. And this is what he said about the missionary enterprise. He said, you came to our lands with Bible in your hands. You came to our lands with Bible in your hands. You gave us your Bible and you took away our lands. Today we have your Bible, but we lost our lands. It was a criticism against colonialism, colonial power. Many times the missionaries went with the attitude to show sympathy. I don't know if you have heard the word of commercialization of poverty. Commercialization of poverty. Poverty is looked upon as something that can benefit us rather than fighting against poverty in those lands. Many of the missionaries' attitude was, because you are poor, you need Jesus. If you do not have a house in this land, don't worry. You will walk through the pearl, through the paths of gold. You will live in pearl mansions, and the streets will be filled with gold and diamonds. So don't worry. It was a kind of romanticization of poverty. But Jesus was saying, what did you do to the least? Did you provide them clothing when they were naked? Did you provide them when they were hungry? Did you visit them when they were in prison? I would have been so happy if the missionaries went and they challenged the structures that made poverty as a virtue. I would have been very, very grateful to those kind of missionaries. That is one. And the second way the missionaries went into other countries or other poor places was, if I did something to them, that gave me a feel-good factor. Right? Oh, I have served someone in need, and so that makes me feel good. I don't know if you have the word, if you have heard of the word do-gooderism, going and doing some good and then feeling good about it. But today, Jesus is challenging us. Jesus is challenging the way we think. He says, no, I don't want you to feel good about this. Did you do something about it? And this is a challenge for our day today. When we see people in prison, we become judgmental. In this country, 67% of the people in prison are people of color. And more than 40% of the people in those prisons are people who are in prison not because of huge crime that they have committed, for very small criminal offenses, but still they are judged and put into prison, incarcerated, proportionally very, very different. When I was in India, back in India, I used to do prison ministry. One Christmas time, we wanted to have a Christmas celebration for the people in prison. And I invited a very respected godly man to come and preach to them. Even today, I see that his billboards are everywhere and he preaches. I don't know what he preaches. But when I asked him and I said, we are going to do this Christmas celebration in a prison facility, can you please come? He said, you know, they are criminals. I don't want to go and preach the gospel to criminals. Wow. I thought, you have to read your Bible, Pastor, before you say something, right? Today we have the call once again by our Lord Jesus saying, in the least of these people, if you do not see me, you have not seen anything. You know, after Jesus told this story to his disciples, you know what happened? Jesus was captured like a thief. He was disrobed. He was naked. He was thirsty. And he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And you know, this world had nothing to offer him. It gave him nothing. Jesus comes back to us every day in front of us, begging the question, have you seen me in the least of these people? And if you have done anything to the least of these people, you have done it to me. Let this be a challenge for us. While we wait expectantly for the coming of our King, that we might be on the right side of history, that we will be judged right. Amen.